Hey, Giant Builders. All right, today's speaker is really special in that she's going to talk to us about listening to the Holy Spirit in building your business. And so I think you're going to love her morning routine because it's kind of similar to the one that we shared last week. So here we go.
Building spirituality, family, health, and business. This is the Giant Builders with Lois Wyant.
Giant Builders, today's episode is sponsored by my favorite hair care products. So I have a sample to send to you. So if you'd like to try my hair care product, then I will have an email below. Send me an email and I will with your address and I will get that sent out to you. It has a 60-day money-back guarantee. So if you like it and you want to try it and you see no change in your hair, you can get your money back. So let's get on to meet our speaker. Hey, Giant Builders, welcome. I'm so happy to have you here. And today's guest is Tamara Andrus. Tamara, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do?
Yeah, let's jump in. All right, we're here to build giants. And so I have to tell you that I was once the shepherd boy, right? As I think all of us were. And yet there's a giant that was inside of me. And in that season of my life, I was really chasing after all of the wrong things, even though God had put me in a position to not be seen. We know that he uses all things for good. So I have a lot of leadership background. I started 9 companies in my 20s. And I was really focused on all the things that the American dream would have us believe is success and happiness. And those things were all fallacy. And I'm so grateful that I had a quarter life crisis instead of a midlife crisis. Mm-hmm. And when I did, at the age of 29, I had 2 kids under the age of 2. I had a husband that I'd been married to for 4 years with for nearly 9 at that point. And we were just living life one dollar sign to the next, which was a lot more dollar signs than most people had at that age because we were both entrepreneurs. And one of my contracts was a 9-figure nursing bra line that I had constructed alongside the American, UK, and Canadian markets. So I was working like 70 hours a week, way too much, right? Way too much with 2 babies at home. And I had this crash and burn moment that I refer to as my tombstone moment, where I pulled into my driveway after a long day. I had barely finished weaning my daughter from nursing. And so, of course, as a mom, you're like, can't wait to be with her again. And she waddles over to me and sees me and turns around and walks towards Dada. And it was like one of those, it seems insignificant moments, but it was forever life-changing for me. And I had a choice in that moment, as we often do, to pursue what it is that my heart wanted or to pursue the feeling that I was experiencing. And the feeling that I was experiencing was void, overwhelm. It's okay, I have 1,000 other things I need to do. I'll just let him keep taking care of the kids and then go inside. And I chose the latter. And when I got inside, I remember hearing in my mind, and this is like a God moment, a vision moment, of what is your tombstone gonna say? Right now, it's gonna say entrepreneur. And just so you know, in case you've ever been to a graveyard, most tombstones, mass majority of tombstones, even Steve Jobs' tombstone does not say entrepreneur. And the things in which you will read are things like child of God, mom, loving mom, wonderful wife, right? Maybe not wonderful. I added that acronym myself. And I knew in that moment, I wasn't honoring like God in any of those roles. And even though I was a Christer growing up, so a Christmas and Easter Christian, I just knew that there was more. And so that night I went to sleep after crying in the shower and knowing that I don't know what's wrong with me, but I feel depressed, I feel void, yet I have all these accolades. And my husband woke me up with information that he had disclosed about how I was actually not walking in integrity when it came to this giant life I was living. And it wrecked me because, again, minute by minute, we're faced with choices. My choice at this point was, do you want to get a divorce or do you want to go after the thing that you've committed to, this covenant marriage, this family? And I knew in my heart of hearts, 100%, it was the latter. And so I went after it. And the way that I went after it in order to build the life that I have now was to give it all away. And I know now, because I'm an ordained minister and I wasn't at the time, that the rich young ruler was asked the similar thing, right? Are you willing to give it all away? And I was, and I did. And I'll ever, forever be grateful for that season of suicidal ideation, depression, anxiety, overwhelm, loss of identity, loss of titles, really minimization at the biggest capacity that you could think of, and realizing that the thing that matters most is the nucleus of my home, my contentment, and me living on purpose, not on purpose for somebody else's dream. So I'll stop there because I'm sure you have a thousand things to say because I told you nothing about what I do now. But I wanted you to have the premise instead of giving you my accolades and my bio and all these things that I'm surely I could tell you about. It really matters how you found me in that pit of despair before you ever hear about me in whatever you want to perceive as a palace moment.
That is a lot. Thank you so much for being so open about your journey. I mean, I think so many of us, especially as women, we come to a stage of where, like, what am I doing? What's important? Where am I heading? I mean, even me at the age of 62, I'm like, where am I heading? Where am I going? What's the next chapter of my life look like? So yeah. It's, so how do you open your heart and your mind to really feel God's direction?
Yeah. And that was definitely a becoming journey. It always is. And so I like to say, no matter where you are, that we're all always becoming, because I'm merely 37 at this point, and I've got a lot of life to live. And there is always this element of, I wouldn't say fogginess, but most people's limiting belief or lack of action is because they don't have clarity, because they don't know what to do next. But I know that clarity comes in action. And that's because I've made choice after choice after choice to pursue what I know to be true. And sometimes truth and clarity go hand in hand, but you still don't know what that looks like. And so as I started to get invested in the word, I went to a year-long worship school before I did my 2 years of ordination process. And that year-long worship school, I was the only person there that didn't sing or play an instrument. And every single person, there was hundreds of people there, you guys, the only person. And they're like, why are you here? And I had zero idea. But I remember sitting in a church a couple weeks into it, and it was the first time I ever heard the call of God, where I ever actually could hear in my spirit. And this is not an audible like, Tamara, join Bernie 24/7. It wasn't that, but it was that knowingness that you'll hear God. And I heard him say, this is for you. Now, mind you, I was in a season of stripping everything away. So for my husband, that was probably a scary thing for him to think, oh gosh, she's going to get invested in something else, that she's going to get on the perfectionism wheel again. She's going to get on the striving wheel again. But because of what it was and who it was for, and that it was all from my home, and my computer was the first time I ever did online education. And this was in, 2016, 2015, something like that. And, it was the most vulnerable time of my life because I learned to hear from God. I learned to share my testimony openly. I learned to be okay with not being okay. I went to therapy for the first time. And as I got into the space of emotional intelligence and started to dissect that I am not my feelings, but my feelings do have truth to them, and they are representations of God himself. I am not angry for anger's sake. I am not grieving for grieving's sake. It's actually to understand who he is and the heart of the Father before it is to come in to get in all my emotions and feel validated by my emotions, because our emotions don't validate us. God does. So to hear from God was not only an experience, intuition is what a lot of people who don't know God say, or a coincidental moment, or a God wink, I like to call them. But you start to see that God is literally in every single detail and every single fiber of your life, because he pre-wrote the story, remember? It makes you want so eagerly to enter into each day and each season in the expectation of, God, what do you got for me today? Rather than I'm living this life because of I'm just wandering, right? I'm not wandering, I am seeking. And that's a total different thing than being aimless and being intentional. I am intentionally seeking Christ and his will for my life, rather than floundering and wandering in this place of unknowingness and being like, I don't know what I'm doing, one day to the next, right? And I think a lot of people are, which is really sad.
So, okay, so last week I did My episode was on like how I restructured my morning. I'm curious, how do you start your morning?
Oh man, my mornings are my favorite time of day. I'll say that. I love my evening routine as well because I think your evening routine sets up your morning routine.
Okay, I'd like to know.
So, yeah. So,
Okay.
my morning routine, I'm usually up between 4:30 and 5, if not earlier, laying in bed. I always pray about the day before my feet even hit the ground. And that was a practice that really set in the last year, mainly because I kept waking up earlier and earlier. And I'm like, Lord, I don't want to get up. And he's like, just stay with me here. Just talk with me here. And so that's been a sweet time. I immediately go downstairs and get into the word. I am in my second year of going through the Bible front to back. This year we're doing it chronologically. So I'm excited about that. It's been really fun and wildly eye-opening because instead of piecemealing together or following, smaller chunks at a time, to just be persistent and disciplined, it's no different than a morning routine. The discipline of it is something I am eager to continue. So after that, I get my workout in, a movement of some sort, and all of this happens before my kiddos come down. I found when I was a young mom, with my kiddos being small, that if they woke me up, I was agitated and I felt like I never had personal space and I didn't have clarity in my mind. And I was always like on edge versus when I have that time to be filled up, when they come downstairs to an open hug and an open arms and a mom that's already filled with vibrancy and coffee. And so it's a lot better for them and it's a lot better for me. And so then my morning consists of getting them ready for school, being focused on them, brushing hair, brushing teeth, all that fun stuff. My kids are 9 and 10 right now. So they still need help, but they also like mama, them to do it themselves. They're like in the in between stages. And of course, my husband's in the midst of all of that. He also wakes up later when they wake up. And so it's just a sweet, sacred time. And then I jump right into my work. I have my best operating hours in the morning. So when I do wake up at 3, sometimes I am on the computer, totally guilty, but I'm usually done with all work by 2. So I have this big gap of time between midday and dinner where it's all focused on commuting and doing all this stuff for my kiddos while answering emails and pings and all the things that happen when you run multiple companies. And then the evening time, as I mentioned, also one of my favorites. Since my babies were little, we used to do, what was it? Bath, book, boob bed because they nursed. So sorry for the guys who are listening. It's much different now, but it's very similar. It's bath book, which is Bible generally. Bath Bible. We do a little bit of TV because we have this YouTube channel that we love called Outdoor Boys. And then I fall asleep holding my baby's hands and praying every single night. So teaching them the power of prayer and hearing them speak their little prayers and days out to the Lord is just the sweetest thing. It's something I treasure so much.
Oh, that's precious. I mean, just memories and also just the guidance that you're giving your babies. That's
Yeah.
precious.
There's so many cool like inner moments too of like training them up because that wasn't something that I necessarily received biblically anyway. I received a lot of training, but just not in that context. So there's some really cool resources, whether it's daily devotionals for children. One of ours favorite is Superbook, which is put on by CBN. And so we will watch that on the way to school and talk about it and pause it and process because it's basically showing a snapshot of little kids in their environment at school and their families feeling and realizing real life experiences that then go back in the Bible to what happened when Jesus was around or the disciples or something that happened then. And so they get to see the biblical truth connected to their real life now. And I love that resource.
Oh, that sounds excellent. All
Yeah,
right. I'm going
it's
to
brilliant.
look that up and I have a link below
Yeah.
for you people. So, all right, great. All right. So, I see you as just this awesome leader. Tell me how are you getting that message in your leadership?
Yeah, and you're saying that message from the Lord specifically, or the
Yeah.
message out to the masses?
Well, how about both?
Okay,
Okay.
I think from God, it really is a daily surrender. It's walking in humility. It's being able to just be in tandem with Him in alignment. A lot of people will ask, like, "How do you do it all?" And I have two sayings to that. One, I don't do it all at once. Like literally right now, I'm right here with you. My feet are at my desk. I'm planted, right? My spirit, my heart, all of it is right here. And the second part is that balance is a lie. And so if you're looking to have some sort of work-life balance, I will tell you from 16 years of expertise as a gymnast, I never got a 10.0 on balance beam. And so that leads me to believe if I'm also trying to juggle and have all these titles and roll plates up in the air and spin them on these different things, it's not possible. And so if it's not possible, then it's a lie, because we can't have a half truth, right? And so when I look to the word about my mind, my body, my spirit, when I look to examples like the Proverbs 31 woman, and it appears that she's doing it all, she has a rhythm of grace that she operates on, and she's doing it based on biblical principle. And therefore she can rise before the sun. Therefore she can go to the market. Therefore she can be a real estate investor. Therefore she can raise her kids and sew their clothes. I don't sew their clothes, sew clothes, not happening. One thing I don't do. But there's a lot in all of that where I realize if balance is a lie, what is true? And true is alignment, and also true is seasons. Right? There are seasons in which I'm going to have different priorities than I am next season. I live in a house where my husband is also an entrepreneur. And the season that I stopped all entrepreneurship, guess what? I had no income. So he, as I was having this identity crisis, and we were going to counseling nonstop together and individually, and I was going on this pursuit of God, he had double time the work. Right? And so that was his season. And I remember feeling really lonely in that season, because we'd be at dinner with the kids and I was trying to be present and joyful. And he's like, I gotta go. And I couldn't be mad about that, because it was what we needed from a provision perspective at that time. But now he's in a season where he's been, you know, many years, decade over in his company. And I'm still in, I think, the baby phase. We're 6 years in, but hey, most companies fail at five. So we beat that. I'm grateful for that. But I still have a lot of growing, a lot of building to do. And so there are times like tomorrow, I'll be flying to another part of the country for several days, and he's got the kids. And he's not lonely, because we learned to communicate, which was a huge part of our evolution and intimacy as a married couple and a home. So that would be with God, alignment and seasonal alignment with the Lord. Prioritization is so important, and understanding that your mind, your body, and your spirit don't get to take a seasonal tap out. Okay. So you don't get to tap out of your body just because you're doing all these other things seasonally. All of them matter so much. Otherwise, you're going to end up being in a season where the only thing that you're able to focus on is your body, because you're in a health crisis, mm-hmm. or in a mental crisis, which is what I was in, or in a spiritual crisis, which is what I was in, right? Because I was so focused on my body for all of the wrong reasons, and my mind was fixated on something other than God. And so just being mindful of that as I'm sharing, how does it like relate to you as the listener? A lot, okay? So I'm telling my story, but I'm also hoping that you're receiving it from a training perspective. Secondarily, from a business perspective, my message is really premised on creating millionaire messengers. It's really premised on being able to unlock your story, your testimony, the transformational moments of your life, and to get that out to the world to serve, because we're all on purpose and called to do the same thing, to go and make disciples of nations. How we do that with our variability in spiritual gifts looks different, right? But the way in which we do it and what it is that we're actually doing is meant to expand the kingdom. Bottom line, that's what it's about. We are giants here to build more giants, right? The legacy that comes after us, the generations that come after us. And so with that, I have an opportunity to bring these people in from my publishing house called Fit in Faith Press. And we build their entire ecosystem for their message, because it's not just about becoming an author. Fun fact, a majority of all authors, which only 1% of the human population, 8 billion people, will ever become an author. And of those authors, only 1% will go beyond 2,000 books sold in the lifetime of that author. So me knowing that, I'm like, wait, this is terrible. People are putting their heart and soul into this book, and only less than 2,000 books are being read. No. We need to fix this. And so we have a promise in our house of 10,000 to 15,000 books. We have strategies to do so. We know part of that is if you have a book and you've got all these words, you're also likely a speaker in some context. Mm-hmm. You're also likely a podcaster in some context. And so we help build these platforms. We help them build training methodologies like e-courses and coaching frameworks and all the things, simply by saying yes to God and saying, I have a message that I want to get out to the masses.
Oh my gosh, that's overwhelming. Like,
Yeah.
holy, that is just amazing. Okay, so particular type of authors? I mean, are we looking at what's your specialty in authors?
Yeah, they vary for sure. So I've
Yeah.
got like two books in queue right now with these two different men. Ironically, they don't know each other. They're in total different parts of the country, total different industries, but there's something that the Lord is doing on the hearts of Aaron's and hers. And that's like the second in command. So one is the power of number two, and one is the power of the CMO. And so I'm really excited about those. So it's like business-oriented, biblically based books in that regard. And then we've got testimonial books. We have not yet done any fiction, but I have one in queue, which is actually my grandfather's book. And so I'm so excited to bring that to
Oh.
life. Yeah, I actually discovered this as a cool story. I discovered it the morning after he passed away, which was a couple weeks after I had announced to him and the family that I had secured my full distribution publishing house. And on his deathbed that week, I said, "Grandpa, wouldn't it be so cool if one day I got to publish your book?" And I knew he had been prepping a book for years, but I had no idea that it was done because he had only shown me a couple chapters like 10 years before. And I had no idea that he had multiple other books. I also had no idea, all of this I discovered the following morning in his office, that he had pitched the book to full publishing houses, sent letters, and I had a copy of every single letter. And I saw the very last one was, "This is my final attempt to get my book out. And after this, I'll note," and he has like a wild vocabulary. He was saying words I had to look up in the dictionary, basically saying like, "I'm gonna throw it away at this point if it doesn't get picked up." That was in 1997. And so I am so excited that nearly 20 years later, his granddaughter gets to publish it on his behalf.
Oh, that is
Yeah.
so sweet.
I'm so excited about it. Yeah,
Yeah.
I read it. I sat down and read it start to finish, 12 hours by my fire during Christmas break, and I am just like, can't wait to get it to market. So I
Oh.
would say also my favorite is to bring compilations together. So that means either devotionals or anthologies. An anthology, the variable between an anthology and a devotional is it doesn't have to be, it's not biblically based per se. And yet ours particularly are, but you're bringing together a cohort of about 20 authors underneath a specific title, topic, concept, and they're writing from their own lens. So that was the very first way that I ever shared my story, was in a snippet of a women's devotional. And after I shared that, I realized I didn't die. I realized that all the stories I put in my mind weren't true. And at that point was when the Lord was like, "Okay, now do you trust me? Are you willing to write it all?" And so that's what my Always Becoming book, the one that you kind of see behind me, is about. My whole story.
Isn't it amazing how our mind does fill us all with all those lies, and that
Oh,
how
for
God
sure.
has to like wash it all away?
Renew your mind every
Yeah.
day. Like that's, and I think that's where if people are listening and they're like either not in their faith or they're like, "Oh gosh, she's so religious," right? Like that's like language that people can use. Is knowing that, like, I don't actually have a religion. I have a relationship with a God. And a religion is a set of rules and regulations. And now, does that mean that my God doesn't want me to stand in a certain air of righteousness? 100%. And every day, always becoming total grace, right? Every day I get it wrong. And every day I step more into who is that person that I meant to be and how was I fashioned to be. And so I say that for you all that the word repentance, which is truly the first step in getting to know God and being in a relationship with God, is to change your mind. And so your mind simply just needs a new direction. And that's what happened to me in that quarter life crisis, is I had to make a choice. And that's what that is. Repentance is a choice to go from one state of being and one direction into another direction. And so hopefully, as people are listening, they're realizing that it's more of a spiritual opportunity than it is a religious box that I'm putting you in.
Yeah. Well, you've written several books. Tell me a little bit about The Joyful Entrepreneur. That one caught my attention.
Yeah, that's one of the anthologies. And we are in volume three right now. We're actually acquiring authors right now. When this one was dropped in my spirit a couple years ago, it was basically like, what are all of the problems and what are all the things that people aren't talking about when it comes to business building? At this point, I had several business coaches. Not all of them worked out. Some of them were investments and I learned what not to do. So God used it all for good, but I was tired of getting just like a little bit. I wanted the full unveiling for the audience to see. And I know financially, not everyone is able to join a $40,000 mastermind. Not everyone is able to get a coach that's $1,000 an hour. So how do we make this information accessible to people while also providing the truth of the testimony linked to it? And so these books are fashioned by, instead of it just being like a chapter by a person, there's about 9 to 11 questions per book, and each of the authors answers them. So it's very much a Q&A. So they can't skirt around the thing I really want to know. They've got to answer that thing I really want to know about profits, about profit margins, about HR, about things that most people don't like to talk about the hardest experience that they've had, about failed partnerships, but also the highs and why choose entrepreneurship and what's the hardest thing about entrepreneurship, and allowing people, whether they're an entrepreneur now, a desired entrepreneur, they've been an entrepreneur, or they're just looking for more joy in their life from people who are leaders, it really has a breath of focus for people. And I encourage people to read it, not front to back, but question by question. Mm-hmm. Again, I was a part of another female entrepreneur book prior to starting my publishing house. And this is where that was kind of premised from, was like, I loved this. The only variability was that not all of them were in their faith. And so to give it that faith-filled lens, joy comes in the morning. Joy has a source. Joy has a name. And instead of living in the happy hustle of America or really the world at large, I wanted people to understand that the hustle that they're seeing is really just a building towards that expansion. And you can do it joyfully and aligned.
All right, great. All right, well, okay. Tell me a little bit more in depth about Always Becoming.
Oh yeah, that's the deep well that we started at the beginning when I started digging that pit that I threw myself in. That's what that story is about. And it really is about mind, body, spirit alignment. And so for people who are on a journey of really understanding what does that mean and processing that for themselves, it's really, it looks maybe when you hold it that it is for females, but that it's really touched and blessed so many men. Their testimonies are actually probably some of my favorite because it's an unassuming opportunity for them to not only get into the female psyche, but also to look through another lens of what's going on with themselves. Maybe they're trying to read it because they're trying to help their wife, but they end up getting something for themselves. So the subtitle of that book is Sex, Shame, and Love, which is where it's a little dicey and splicey and people are like, oh, wow, that'll ruffle some feathers. But I know that this is not just my problem. You see the identity crisis that's happening across the world, and that is a sex-oriented problem, then we know that the shame that people are still carrying day by day, week by week, year by year, decade by decade in their life, which is premised on a lot of the health issues that people are having, is coming from stress, which is coming from shame. And so shame is a root cause of so many ailments, so many problems. And until we are willing to face the shame vulnerably and realize that there is a great love that overshadows that shame, that eradicates that shame, my favorite word, to obliterate that shame, this is the journey for that. But a lot of people would rather hide and not read the book. And that's just because they don't want to face themselves. And it's an identity conversation at the end of the day. It's like figuring out who you are, what you're passionate about, discovering how your transformational testimony has purpose to be told, and to live shame-free, shackle-free in the fulfillment of your ultimate purpose.
Oh, wonderful. All right. So I love both these books. So I'm going to get my copies. But also, Giant Builders, we're going to give a book away. Woo-hoo! So you can choose between which one you want, but leave a comment below and we're going to give your choice of which book you would like to have.
All right. I love that.
Okay. So I didn't find out about this early enough, but I am signed up for next week's Tuesday I guess it's a seminar. Tell me.
It is. Yeah, we do virtual training once a month. And so this is really premised on being that global messenger and understanding how to build a business and to do it effectively on biblical principles. We do this the fourth Tuesday of every month, which I can't believe it's already the fourth Tuesday of February as we're recording this for next week. It's insane. But knowing that, you guys are welcome to join. It's from 10 to 11:30 a.m. the fourth Tuesday of every month. You can add the link below and they can jump in. Next week specifically is going to be around financial projections and how to live like the top 1%, specifically in your business. So we're going to be talking about taxes. We're going to be talking about some of the things that a lot of people don't know about, because my CFO is brilliant and she has literally changed my business since she came in. And we are doing things that most people aren't, like when you give something for free or you discount your program or you, you're volunteering somewhere. Are you writing that off? If you're not documenting that anywhere, you could be missing out on tens of thousands of dollars in your write-off opportunity so that you're not paying it to the government. Super simple little snippet, but these are business things that are real. I don't just talk about like the flower, like start a podcast. It's like start a podcast, monetize the podcast, learn how to keep your money and not give it to the government. I love you, government, but no, come on.
Yeah, we'd like to keep more of our money.
Yes.
Yeah. Because we see that you may not always spend it so wisely.
It's true. Stewardship is a huge part of that conversation. I have a lot of people, I mentioned that like lack of clarity is oftentimes why people won't start a business or they won't take that next leap of faith in their business or their life. It doesn't even have to be entrepreneurship. It's just life in general. They don't know what it's going to be. So they just don't do anything at all. And yet God, I am sure, has told you multiple times and prompted you a bunch of times. They're waiting on God to do it. And it's like, no, God already told you to go get out of the boat, right? But with that is the conversation of stewardship, because they'll say, you know, I want to quit my full-time job and I want to make six figures a year. I want to replace my six-figure salary corporately and I would love to head towards seven figures a year. And that's awesome. I love that. But there has to be a conversation about current stewardship. And if we aren't effectively stewarding the $1 or the $10 or the $10,000 or the $10 million, how do we ever expect to get to the next level? And so I really believe that that's a massive conversation that's missed. And people don't even understand where their money's going in their business, what their projections are, and how is their multiple revenue streams benefiting them versus harming them.
Well, I am a little curious, is like, who would be the best type of person to seek out your services?
Yeah, that's a great question. And for those who are listening with an entrepreneurial ear, my avatar, which is the ideal customer, which is the person who's coming in, the exact question that you're asking, has really shifted in the last several years. I do have some people who have worked with me since day one when I launched this company, which has been amazing. And I am very focused in on what is the lifetime customer value, the LCV of my client, meaning how can they keep working with me? I never want to like lose that relationship if my evolution as an entrepreneur is going to serve them and my business capacity is going to serve them, then I want to keep the community, right? I don't want to extract them just because they've done the one thing. And as you said earlier, I do a lot more than one thing, right? So they have an opportunity to re-engage. But what does that person look like? I kind of alluded to them a bit. Some of them are the people who have been in corporate and they're ready to step fully into their personal passions and calling. They're ready to stop that rat wheel like I was in. And so they generally have the capacity from a financial lens, from a resource lens, from a time lens to be able to invest in that part of our program. We have authors who are just budding in the space and they're ready to start getting their story shared. And so that's a wide array of people. Sometimes they're entrepreneurs, sometimes they're not. Sometimes they work full time as a nurse or they work full time as a teacher and they also are just writing their books. And so that is a huge part of the goal that they have. We've got a lot of people who are ready to take their message to the microphone, meaning they want to either land stages or they want to be and have a podcast just like this. I have three different podcasts. The one that is most notable is called Fit and Faith, and it has been around for the last 6 years with over 450 episodes. And I've never missed a week in many, many years and multiple drops a week now with three different shows. And so learning from me and the expertise that we've done puts people a leg up on starting their podcast versus just kind of saying, you know, this is what I'm going to do. And I know how to press play, which I'm so proud of those people. But there's a whole monetization. There is a whole process also of getting it exposed to more people rather than just doing that. So I love teaching people in this retreat style format or immersive training format, because some people do it virtual retreats as well. So those would be the people I would say. I also have people who are digital evangelists, digital content creators, and they are ready to actually monetize the message that the Lord has put on their heart. And so really people who are ready to share their message and they want to do it on a large scale. High capacity leaders is really the lens, because we do things at a pretty rapid pace, not because we're trying to outrun God, but because we believe we're in a season of life where we have access to a lot more. We are capable of a lot more. And I want to get people out of the hustle mentality, but I also want them to get off the couch. And so I think the grace can come with pace, and there's nothing wrong with working in at that individual rhythm with the Lord.
Great. Oh, something just popped in my head. What is the name of your grandfather's book?
Oh my gosh. Honey Off a Thorn.
Oh, okay.
Honey Off a Thorn. And he alludes to what that actually means many times through the book. But just to give you a reference, if you think of like licking a thorn, that sounds painful, right? Like that's not something you would want to do. But there's beauty in the pain. There's sweetness in the pain. You learn a lot about life in the pain. And a way that I've always said it is that water flows in the valley. Right? And so fruit grows in the valley. So a lot of people are like, I don't want to walk through the shadow of death in the valley and fear no evil. Get me out of this place. Take me to the mountaintop. I want to speak to the world. And they feel like the mountain is where it is amazing. And that's the success that everybody aims for. But I always think of Abraham and Isaac in that moment. And that was not a place he wanted to be. The mountain was a place of sacrifice. It was a place of full surrender and wild obedience. It was a space where there was so much inner turmoil going on in Abraham's being. Isaac too. She's like, what's going on? What's happening? I feel like he just totally trusted his dad, which I love that. I hope my kids do the same. But I just want people to realize that mountaintop moments are momentary, and a majority of the time you're hanging out in the valley, but that's where the water runs. And so if we can find our space, our place and our mindset in that space to say, you know what, there is a lot more to be grateful for in this season of life than I might see. And we just have to focus on the light.
Oh, great. Okay, well, any closing thoughts?
Golly. We've done so many different directions, from books to being to growing. I would say if you've been listening to this and there's something piqued in your spirit in regards to two things. One, so what are you passionate about and how can you make money off of that? I'll drop a link for you to share with your community. It's called the Profit Identity Quiz. And it's learning how can you actually monetize your spiritual gifting? And what is that spiritual gifting if you've never identified it before? And what is the roadmap in order to do that? And so it's a really robust opportunity. The quiz is like a minute, and you'll love it. I get so much feedback of like, you're reading my mail. How did you do that? Well, I built the quiz after 5 years of investigating people and doing interviews. And then the second half of that, if you're already in that stage, you already know, and you're like, Tamara, I already have my message. I do want to get it to the masses. I want to be a millionaire messenger. We have a 22-page ebook, which sounds like a lot, and you're like reading another book, but it's also an opportunity for you to analyze where you are in each sides of the business ecosystem connected to the stage, the home front, your business building techniques. And so it'll allow you to gauge where you are and find out what you still need, where are the gaps inside of your million dollar message. And to clarify for people, because I do believe from a lens of like, I'm not a prosperity gospel person. I don't believe everybody is going to be a millionaire or is meant to be a millionaire. Again, it goes back to stewardship and a lot of other things that the Lord is working on through people. But I do believe with the click of a button, we have access to millions of people. Mm-hmm. And if people can start treasuring that instead of utilizing it lightly or taking it for a place of trash talk or offending other people or comparing your life to other people, that there are so many things that happen in that space that is a mental trap versus approaching it from a place of serving and serving God and how he's going to show up through that and the people that you're going to get to bless through it. And so it's really, again, repent, change your mind about what social media, podcasting stages can be, and to try it out. So you've got the Prophet Identity Quiz or the Millionaire Messenger opportunity, and I hope that it serves you. I am excited to hear your feedback from it. I hang out on Instagram mostly. So if you guys need prayer or you have questions about the show, or things that I said or said too fast, I talk fast and I talk a lot, you can send it to me in a DM and I am the one responding. So I look forward to connecting with you.
Wonderful. All right. Well, as soon as we close here, I'm taking both of those little
Yes. I can't wait to hear what yours is. I have an idea on one of them, but I'll be curious about the other one. I do.
I'm sure you're probably really good at estimating what somebody's going to be dying.
I do. I really do. I'm excited about it. I'll send you the links and everybody can get access to it right now.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much. I am just like, oh, so filled. I really appreciate your time.
My pleasure. I hope your community feels the same, but sometimes it's just for us. So
yeah, and that's good too. God blesses us.
Amen.
All right, Giant Builders. We'll see you next Tuesday.
Thank you for listening. This has been The Giant Builders with Lois Wyant.